Giles. I am talking with Mary Hicks Brown and her son about old families, their antecedents, their genealogy, and I hope if we have time, some of the people who lived in the old houses of Westport. Thank you for letting me come. Well, what would you... I'd like to know something about whichever family you'd like to start with. And we're talking about the Soules.
Well, you see, Nathaniel Soule was the first settler. And he came to Dartmouth from Duxbury. He was the son of George Soule, who came in the Mayflower. And Nathaniel Soule was the one of the 36 original proprietors of the town of Dartmouth, which included Westport. He settled near the large spring about 3 miles from the dock at Westport Point. It's in a ravine between Route 88 and Main Road.
Now that would be just south of our property, wouldn't it?
Yes. Soule owned roughly up to the Allen land.
You see, we bought from the Lees the farm south of the farm Mabel had.
Yes.
And that goes down to the ravine, and there's a little brook crossing
there. Another ravine.
Oh.
There's a double spring over there, and it forms the river, the brook that runs into the cove on one side of Westport Point, on the east side of Westport Point. And his son, Nathaniel, my mother, the Davises, came from Sona, or Freetown. And they married two sisters. Was it Reliance Soule and Ann Soule? And then one other sister married a Gifford, so the Davises had all the land for about a mile along the west side of the main road, and the Giffords had all the land on the east side. And Christopher Gifford ran the ferry to Horseman. And then the Davises had three stores down there.
Now, do you have any idea of the date, these dates?
Well, they came down here around 1760.
That was while Westport was still Dartmouth.
Yeah, Westport didn't become Westport until July 3rd, 1787. And so I found a record where Joe Davis got permission from the Bristol County Commissioners to fill the land where the present town dock is, and he built a store at the end of the dock. Just no longer in existence. And then he felt another dog on the west side of the point, which is Mr. Leach owns now. And then to north of that dock, Stephen Davis built a shipyard. And then Benjamin Davis had a grog shop in one corner of the shipyard.
Now, what relation to your mother were these Davises?
Well, they were directly descended from Joe Davis. But, see, he had several brothers. So five brothers came down here from Osona. And one brother went up to Aaron Davis went to Ashburnham, Mass. His descendants of that. Benjamin Davis had a rum distillery where there used to be the Pack Chuck Inn. And that parking lot was the still house lot.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And he made rum there.
Now, was this in Prohibition days, or was it
long before?
No,
this was back around 1800s.
Uh-huh.
Almost every seaport town had a rum distillery. Newport had 30. They had the rum and molasses trade, in which they traded rum for slaves,
yes,
and so forth. And that accounts for the large Negro population in Newport.
Yes.
Slavery was legal, and the slaves were auctioned in Newport.
Yes. How about New Bedford and the rum trade slave trade?
It mostly existed in Newport around the slaves.
Yes.
And Boston.
And in New Bedford, it was more the Indians from the Cape Verde Indian from the islands.
Well, that's another story.
I know. All right, I won't interrupt you.
Well, I had these three things, and then later on, the Coreys came from Newport and took over the stores and things, and it passed out of the Davis family. This Stephen Davis lived where, I guess it's, was it Susan Paul?
Yes, in Sue Paul's house?
That was the Stephen Davis built that. And then, of course, the house my mother owns is
the house we're in now.
Crystal. No, this is Hicks' house.
That's what I thought. I wanted us to be clear about that.
Right. Well, the Christopher Davis house was built around 1815. And in 1818, Christopher Davis and Captain Benjamin Hicks went to Eastport, Maine, to get a load of lumber, and they were lost at sea in the hurricane of 1818. So the house is a half house and never finished the front. The only other house is Captain Ball House. That's why Reverend Shannon lives.
Yeah.
Well, see, this Captain Ball is the ancestor of Mrs. Crosby.
But in direction,
yeah.
Or direction.
Yes. Well, if you go to the cemetery, that box there on the ball lot, for instance, was in front of the Reverend Shannon's house. Captain Ball had it moved and it was buried.
Was Captain Ball buried there?
Yeah, and Mrs. Crosby about this one left, she would be buried.
Mabel will be buried there?
He's direct descendant. But because of the unfortunate family circumstance, they sold that house and went up to live where you were.
Yes. Now, our house...
But that was originally an Allen house.
I wanted to get a little bit into the Allen family.
They came from Sandwich on the Cape.
They're the ones, not the souls, who came from Sandwich.
That's right. I'm not sure where they came from. Some of the families of Sandwich came from Lynn, Mass. Okay. A lot of them did. The Wings and so on came from Lynn. And I'm not sure where they came from in England. But I know where
the... Well, you know the Allens were, the Sandwich Allens were Quakers.
That's right, yes. But some became Quakers... Were Quakers before they came in, some later.
Yes.
Well, I know there's no Quaker cemetery. It's in this farmer's front yard down Sandwich. It's in East Sandwich. And that's where everyone's buried. And the Allens that came here are buried in several cemeteries.
You say the Earlhams are buried in.
What?
Earlhams or the Allens?
Allens.
Allens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Earlham College, the reason I brought that up is that Earlham College is a Quaker institution, you know.
Yes, well, that's in Richmond, Indiana.
Pennsylvania.
Way off, yes, yeah. I know. I just thought maybe somehow or other the family got from Sandwich to...
No. Well,
they went there, from here. They did.
I don't know about the early...
Well, not the early ones, but later. They graduated, Sir Moses Brown taught there.
Of course, there was an Earl family.
Now, I'm interested in the Earl family, too, very much.
Well, they were...
But shall we stay with the Allens a minute?
Yeah, okay. Well, then the Allens came here, and they first settled along the Drift Road. And there's a Green Allen Cemetery, almost up to Hicks's Bridge. And then there's several private cemeteries all the way down the road. And, this on the I don't know how to describe it on the bend of the road up here, there used to be a Christopher Allen house.
I remember that.
Down. That's been torn
What's
down.
What's that?
The Christopher Allen house.
Christopher Allen.
Yes, up there.
On the bend.
On the and bend road.
Now a little house that used to be part of the kitchen of that house still stands.
That's
and that's
right.
The
yeah,
only
that's
part standing. And the barn that was across the street was their barn.
Yeah.
And its basement, its foundations are the only part of that.
Well, I remember the last man, this A.C. Allen, lived there. He hated the place. So he went built that house across the road with more moderns. And he let the other house fall down. But it's very similar to the type that it is this house.
Yeah. I've been here long enough to have been here when that house was falling down. And Mr. Paul, when A.Z. Allen was very ill and in a nursing home, asked me if I would, since I was interested in antiques and knew a good deal about them, if I would go through the house and select things that I thought would be saleable. And what was his name? The man who auctioned from over in Little Compton. He's now dead.
Wilkie.
Chester Wilkie came and held the auction there of the things that I had picked out. And it made, quite a few thousand dollars, which went to the support of Asa in the nursing.
A.C. Allen.
Mm-hmm. A.C. Allen.
Yeah, they call it AC. It's really ASA, Alan. Mm-hmm. But around here they call it AC.
Yeah. That was...
But that's where they came from, down the Cape. And they were one of the original settlers.
Well, they weren't Mayflower descendants, though.
No.
But they were... When do you think they did come over?
Well, I'd have to look it up.
I see.
I don't depend on my memory.
No, I don't either. I keep my head empty so I can have ideas.
Yeah. But I think they came to Lynn, see, when the Puritan migration.
Yeah.
So up there later.
Yeah.
And they settled Sandwich Bowl. Mm-hmm. Then.
Well, how much land did the Allens own here after they came in?
Well, that's a good question. They had some land here in Westport, and they were one of the early settlers of New Bedford. Allen Street is the longest street in New Bedford.
It is? I didn't realize it was.
It goes from the power station all the way out to Tucker Road, which is direct south of Smithville. That was the northern boundary of the Allen property, and there was five farms in New Bedford. There was the Russell farm, the Kempton, and the Allen farm, and Rickardson farm. And the Russells had the largest shares, and they were supposed to be the sons of the Dukes of Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
So they named it
New Bedford.
Bedford Village.
Bedford.
And then it was called New Bedford because there already is a Bedford.
Yes. That's fascinating.
Well, I don't know what you know about Duke of Bedford, but he owns...
I do. I was just came. I was in England for quite a while this spring.
He owns 12,000 acres.
Yeah.
He owns the Woburn Abbey.
Yes. I was there.
Oh.
This spring.
Where was that?
In England. I went to England. A friend of mine took me to England this spring, and he makes quite a show of it. It's really, he's making a lot of money on his
property. Who is that?
The Duke of Bedford.
Duke of Bedford, yes.
Oh, yes.
Who was the person for whom New Bedford was named.
Oh, yeah. Duke of Bedford?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, see, these people are descendants of Russell. This is Charlie Russell, lives up the road. He's probably a descendant. Mm-hmm. His father.
His father, descendant of the Duke of Bedford.
Well, there's a lot of Russells around. They've always been from New Bedford, pushing it to various other places. See, up in Cushing, the Russell Library, and that was started with money from the Russell fortune from Whaling Days.
How much. Well, I asked you about how much land the Allens owned here in Westport.
Well, the average share was anywhere from 500 to 1,600 acres.
So that they did own a share or more of the original.
Yeah, we see, when they divided up that, I think each one got 1/3.
There were 36.
But you had to go there and live there. And some never came, and some divided up, and so on. So, some people got their full share, and others just claimed part of it, or else they sold it off to their friends and neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
See, in the case of Nathaniel Soule, he brought two or three neighbors along, and the descendants live here now.
Yes.
And of course, Theresa Mark Gifford is one.
Yes. Yesterday morning. At meeting, I'm a friend, I'm a Quaker.
Yes.
At meeting, Teresa brought a lovely bouquet of daffodils. I don't mean of Vidalia for me.
Yeah.
Of what? Glads.
Oh, Glads
for me.
Oh,
and I took them home and put them in water right away.
Yeah. Well, as far as I know, this is the earliest American cemetery here. And you can read about the markers in there. It's Israel Mark. So Israel Mark lived where Yeoman's barn is. There was a house there. The house is gone. But the barn is
Israel
Mark.
Israel Mark. When do you think he lived there?
About approximately.
I wouldn't know without
looking it up.
And you see that they married one of these soul sisters, and that's how they got the land. See, Nathaniel Paul, I found a division deed in 1780 where he divided up the whole Westport Point into 200 acre pounds, about 3 or 4. And the Mackinac's got one, and so on. And one of the Mackinac's married at Eldridge. And he owned it for about 10 years, and then Eldridge sold it back to the Mackinac's. But ever since, that area has been known as Eldridge Heights.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's how it got its name. These Eldridges, of course, came from down the Cape, somewhere in the bed, you know.
What you're telling is very interesting. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, if you want, Ralph Earle was...
This is another thing. You know, I read that Ralph Earle, I think it was Ralph, or maybe it was William, was building... Now, this goes back to the 17th century, the 1600s.
Yeah.
William Earle was building his house one morning when he got word somehow that the Indians, the Wampanoags, were coming for one of their periodic forays. And he got off the roof and hurried along with his family over to Russell's Mills, where the largest of the,
yeah, the garrison, yeah,
garrisons was, and he made it. He got there in time, and his house was
Ralph Earle.
Yeah.
Which Earl was it?
Ralph Earle.
Ralph Earle. Yeah. I didn't know whether it was Ralph or William.
Well, they have so many Ralphs and Williams, you have to distinguish.
Yes.
But the first one was Ralph, and he lived...
He married Joanne Savage, and then he had a son.
Well, he lived over there near Ponagansett Harbor, right there. He lived right across from the Russell's Garrison. The last I knew, that he's buried over there in the field. I don't know. They've got a development up there. Maybe they abolished it now.
Yes.
But there was a stone over there that about this Ralph Earle that died in 1717, was just a slate stone.
Yeah.
And it was out in the field with no protection whatsoever.
Did it lie flat the way so many of the stones in England do?
This was upright.
It was upright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, they've got all this developing going on, so I don't know whether it's still there or not. It was a small stone, so somebody might have taken it off. So.
You know, but it's so interesting. It's dreadful that the only 1600 house here in Westport, the Waite Potter house, was allowed to fall down.
Well, I saw it fall down. My mother took some pictures of it.
Did she?
It was a Rhode Island stone ender.
Yes.
And there's, I think the John Arnold house over in Rhode Island is a very close approximation of what it was. On the east end of it, it was all stone, had a fireplace. It was a combination chimney and fireplace, an enormous fireplace. It would take 4 foot logs or something.
Now, who really built that house?
It was Waite.
Waite.
Reuben Waite.
Now, when did his family come? Where did they come from?
Reuben Waite had a mill. I don't know, just the Waite family, I think, came to Boston and then down. Some of them lived in Wakefield, wasn't it?
What?
Wakefield, Mass.
I never heard of that.
Well, anyway, they weren't Mayflower descendants.
No.
And they were very, very early. See, that house dated back to 1680 or something. And it was the only house to survive the
King Philip's War, gather.
Outside of this Wilbur house over here in Wilbur.
Yes. from what I gather, and it may be, I may be mistaken, a good part of Little Compton actually was not part of the Dartmouth.
Oh, it was.
It was?
It was known as Seconnet Village.
Oh.
And it wasn't separated from Dartmouth until 1686. Before that date, it was known as Seconnet Village.
So that it was, in 1686, it was separated from
yeah.
Dartmouth.
And it was called Little Compton at that time.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that 1686 about the date when...
But there were settlers there before. This Captain yeah. Benjamin Church was there in 1674.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, isn't, which is some 1686, I think, is the date when the Dartmouth colony became an adjunct to the Plymouth plantation colony. There
well,
was
this
date.
Was all Plymouth plantation. In 1680s, around there, they joined the Massachusetts Bay and became the state of Massachusetts, the province of Massachusetts Bay.
In 1680?
Well, somewhere, I don't
16,
know.
I think it's well, a something 86 or 84.
I have quite a little on the Wake family.
You do?
Yeah, well, mm-hmm.